Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teacher. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining us for RAM Radio, the webcast, the Biblical Alternative. February the 19th, 2009, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, has never changed. Sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. Welcome to RAM Radio, Reformation Apologetic Ministry. Right here from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, your radio host, Pastor John Coleman. Thank you, guys, for being so attentive to what's been going on the website. I'm so glad that you've been coming by and visiting me. Would like you to check out the YouTube video page. That's where you find all the most recent YouTube videos. Or go to John Cole 1234 on the YouTube website, which is my video page. I've taken a lot of them off of the front page up there because I think it's a little bit too distracting. But just to review a little bit to let you know what's going on, if you're living in the Southern California area, I would personally like to invite you because I believe the dean would want you to be there. Dean Gocher is having a wonderful, wonderful conference in the North Hollywood area. If you just scroll down the front page there, the Institute of Authority Research in Southern California, February 24th, as well as the 26th. On the 24th, it's going to be held at the LA Police Department Community Room and 11640 Burbank Boulevard in North Hollywood. And at 7 p.m. Also, on Thursday, February the 26th, it's going to be held at Denny's Restaurant at 7490 Edinger Avenue in Huntington Beach. Dinner's going to be served at 6:30. You buy your own dinner, and the lecture begins at 7 o'clock. Dean and Karen Gocher are going to be there just presenting. Well, I plan to be at the North Hollywood one. It's a night that I don't have to teach at the school, so I can spend some time down there just becoming well-addressed again to what is going on in the world that we live in. So glad that you can be with me tonight. Tonight we're going to discuss Bob Klink, Mark Ramsey, and myself, ID check. Is it too late? I'm reading an article, and the article came my way. I was browsing the World Wide Web, and an article by David Regan. David Regan is the founder and senior evangelist of the Lamb and Lion Ministries and the host of a weekly television program, Christ in Prophecy. He preaches and teaches Bible prophecy and his message of the soon return of Jesus Christ. I was looking at his television series on his website, and he was interviewing the senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And the senior pastor there wrote in 2006 a great book. And they were talking about this little book. I think that one of the book companies calls it the worst book that was ever written because it's really a fundamentalist idea that Christianity is the only way to get to heaven. And the pastor of First Baptist was talking about that. So I began to read David's outline on how to recognize a false prophet, and I wanted to get into just a little discourse before I get into what he has to say, because the time has come for each of us to judge correctly. You know, I think that guys, and you can butt in anytime you want. The day and age is over for us making excuses about our pastors and our churches. it's time for everybody to judge what's correct and not correct. No, I haven't met a perfect person yet. I'm not one of those that thinks that he's perfect. But the subject matter that we're going to discuss tonight is biblical. So I'm going to allow the Bible to do the answering through this brother Reagan's outline that he has. But Bob, Mark, and I are going to try to get you guys to listen on a regular basis to answer some simple, simple questions. Who do you blame for following a false teacher? Who do you blame? Who really is the cause of that? I have two basic questions that I was going to ask, and they're kind of tricky questions, guys, so don't get confused by them. All right. There's a world of comments out there, even on the internet these days. And all that it takes is a serious student to investigate for themselves in a matter of minutes to try to find out what's going on out there. But that won't assist the church these days. So I've got to ask you two questions. The first one's kind of difficult. Listen to this. First question goes like this. If one believes the whole of scriptures, you got a teacher out there, he believes everything in the Bible, stakes his life on it. All right. But he fails in one area of his life that does not pertain to keeping doctrine. It's another area. It's one off the course. Are we to say to that individual that he is not qualified to assist us in dispensing or helping us to mature in the Christian life? Let's discuss that now. If the guy is an astute Bible teacher, knows scripture, hasn't fallen down on doctrine, straight in doctrine, but he's weak in an area in his life. Now, don't add the premise if he's a pastor. Let's just make him a plain, simple Bible teacher with 15 students.
Weak in an area of his life, meaning that he has fallen into a sin? Fallen into sin, is that what you're talking about?
Let's say that he has an undisclosed sin to anybody, but he discloses a little bit of that undisclosed sin to one of his friends.
Again, is he repentant of that sin, or is he...
Yeah, he's repentant of that sin.
Okay, so as far as the doctrine is concerned,
that's right.
He's not trying to twist the doctrine to justify that sin.
Right.
Then you go to Romans 7.
Right.
Now, you know... You would say in Romans 7, then, Paul himself would be in that situation, and...
You know, there's a large number of theologians that disagree with that. Interpretation of Romans 7.
Well, okay.
That's why we're having this discussion.
Okay. But the issue here is that rather than being in the position of justifying his sin or twisting the doctrine around, let me give you the example.
All right, go ahead.
The so-called Christian, the homosexual Christian, the unrepentant homosexual, and we're not talking about pastor, we're just talking about Christian, like you said.
Yeah.
The homosexual Christian who believes all of the doctrine of Scripture, however, he has twisted those Scriptures around with respect to homosexuality.
We aren't talking about
so
them.
So that he's unrepentant.
Right, we aren't talking about them.
So that he is justifying that person's disqualified.
Right.
But the other person... I mean, basically, if to flip that coin.
Yeah, flip it.
So now you have somebody who sins, who does repent of that sin, who hates the sin that he struggles against.
Yes.
He acknowledges the doctrine is in line in his mind with the proper doctrine.
Yes.
But he struggles in his flesh.
Yes.
Against his own flesh.
Yes.
Because he can't fully give himself over to the Spirit-filled life.
Yes.
And basically what I'm saying is that every single Christian living and breathing falls into that category.
Yes.
Because of the fact that we are incapable on this earth of living the life that Christ led.
Now, thank you, Bob. Mark, do you understand where I'm going with this?
I understand it because if a Bible teacher is not doing anything to the scriptures but teaching them the way they're supposed to be taught, yet he has something going on in his life.
When you listen to a Bible teacher, are you under the impression that, and in you guys' case, I'm your Bible teacher, unless you're going listening to somebody else during the week, are you under the impression that your Bible teacher, and these are some of the things that I discuss with some of my young teachers all around the country, because they all tell me, I'm not perfect, man. I struggle. Then I find myself, because of my love for them, telling them about my struggles too. Mm-hmm. Now, in some cases, some of the people that know me as a Bible teacher lose all respect for me. They have this idea floating around in their heads, well, you must be a false prophet. That's not necessarily so.
But the Bible tells us not to put our weight on man, but to put everything into the Word of God, so that I individually have to take what the Bible teacher says, and it should reflect what the Word of God says, and that's supposed to teach and work in my life.
Okay.
What his life is all about isn't necessarily part of the actual teaching that he's teaching me. I have to take what the Word says.
There you
and
go.
Then
so you can separate the two.
I have to separate the two because he's still a man.
All right,
for whatever obstacles he's had that day, he still has to get up and teach and do what God told him to do, and I have to go and listen to the Word so I can get what God wants me to do.
So you don't deify him. Go ahead, Bob. You got a text.
Yeah, I do have a text. Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and makes flesh his arm,
all right, good,
and whose heart departs from the Lord.
Okay.
So in other words, if I start to put you on a pedestal and my salvation and my spiritual well-being is based on trusting you,
yeah,
the reason I'm cursed for even thinking that is that I'm making flesh my arm. I'm making flesh my strength.
Right.
I'm making you my strength. Man. Well, you're flesh. The Bible tells us all that we're all foolish flesh.
Right.
All of our flesh is but dung.
Yes.
So if I'm putting my trust in dung, I'm right. not putting my trust in the Lord. So yes, I'm supposed to
That's
allow
good.
You to assist me
right.
to learn the things of the Lord and gain the knowledge of the Lord, but I am not to put my faith and my trust in you. And that is what so many of these
right.
false pastors
yes.
and prophets are trying to do. They're drawing men to themselves.
Yes.
Where you're saying, I'm being real. Don't trust me.
Right.
I'm not perfect.
Right.
If you're putting your trust in me, you're foolish.
Right, right, right.
And so all of a sudden, you're no longer on the pedestal. Well, you weren't supposed to be on the pedestal in the first place.
Never were supposed to be there.
No.
Right. Absolutely.
No.
All right, let me ask you the second question then. Second one is just as demanding as the first one. If one has a criminal record, if they were a convict, teaching the truth, as a matter of fact, even if he, in his post-Christian days, killed a person, if he killed a person like the Apostle Paul did, because the Apostle Paul was a murderer. Y'all know that. Post-Christianity, Paul was killing up some Christians. If someone today did like Paul did some 2,000 years ago, can he be said to be a false prophet if he gets up doctrinally teaching the Word of God? No, I've never killed anybody. I just thought that I'd throw this out there to make the conversation a little bit hotter.
Once again, the Lord promises to remove our sin as far as the east is from the west.
All right.
So if we experience the forgiveness of the Lord, do we and can we continue to be qualified? And I believe so, because I believe...
Okay, we're in agreement.
And probably some people are going to say, well, gee, you're soft, you're compromising, you're this, you're that. And I mean, here's an example. is that I recall definitely John MacArthur talking about the sin of adultery.
Okay.
And that automatically, you know, anybody...
Yeah, any preacher that commits adultery is not qualified to be a pastor anywhere else. That is John MacArthur's ideas.
Right. But and so my question for that is, how far do you take that?
Right.
I mean, if MacArthur comes up with one rule for one specific sin, okay, if somebody who's a pastor steals a candy bar from a store that's only worth 25 cents, well, now it's a dollar, but, you know,
right.
And he steals a candy bar from a store, well, he's a thief.
Yes.
So now, I mean, what degree and what magnitude of sin, you know, where do you get it, where do you start to draw that line? And so, I guess I'll throw Ted Haggard in there.
Okay.
If a pastor, professing Christian, falls into the sin of adultery, once again, if his doctrine stays solid, if he is repentant, perhaps takes a furlough for a period of time to, you know, really
I don't think that there can be a furlough for a pastor to take time off or something like that. If a pastor is caught in something like that, if he's caught based upon Galatians 6:1, if a man is overtaken in a fault. In other words, and I don't know whether Ted was doing that. I can only speak for myself. If you're in the process of running the race and running it correctly, and you're overtaken while you're running the race with the flesh sin, a greed sin, a power sin, whatever it is, if you're overtaken, that's the only way. If he's overtaken, the only person that can judge that pastor is another person that's been overtaken. Because if they haven't been overtaken, Bob, they can't judge him rightly.
Okay.
If they haven't practiced empathy and walked in their shoes, and I don't think John MacArthur's one that can... No, I'm going to say it. He's not the holy aura here. He cannot judge righteously because of certain people that I've spoken to that had to leave his fellowship because of certain things like that and the way that it was handled.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like this big iron...
Hammer
coming down, and the family and nobody could survive.
Yeah.
The only thing that person could do is go to another church and hopefully would not be connected with Grace Community Churches because that mess follow you. I know what they did to a young man called Dan Majors.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Majors was not necessarily right, but also what Grace did was not right by blackballing that boy the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is...
Right. And so what I'm saying as far as the Ted Haggard thing...
All right.
Is that's the one episode where one can be restored and can continue on in the pastorate.
Yes.
As opposed to the Haggard who gets on TV and hems and haws and says that he's a heterosexual with complications and
what?
He's still kind of... Yeah, that was his psychologic diagnosis by his psychotherapist. See, so as soon as he goes into the realm of psychotherapy and psychiatrists, he's departed the Christian realm, and he's going to the world for the solution to the problem. So he's proven himself disqualified because he won't just sit down, look you in the face, call it sin, say it was sin, show repentance, show change in behavior. Instead, he says, well, he still has lustful feelings for men, but he's not homosexual. He just has complications.
Gosh. Well, see,
and,
that's what
and
I...
so that's the justification, and he's twisting the doctrine around, whereas it's no longer solid and the same and consistent with what his previous doctrine was. So if the one person is overtaken in a fall, but the doctrine doesn't change, the repentance is genuine, there's following back on the right track and all of that, how can you say that's a person's not disqualified? Because each one of us has a sin every single day.
And that
Jesus says, if you even thought about that woman, you've already had sex with her.
Yes.
So what pastor hasn't had a thought about a woman or a thought about greed.
Boy, you guys are really hitting what I want to talk about.
Or a thought, you know, a thought about the love of money, a thought about the power. Well, what if I did this and I got this power?
Yes.
What if I did, you know? So what pastor and church leader has not fallen into those? And Jesus says, they're all equal. They're all sin. You have missed the mark.
Now, our study...
Suddenly then everybody comes disqualified.
Right. If you don't identify who and what, and that's what I think this brother from Texas does, if you really do not identify what a false prophet is, I have it in my outline right here. The answer is found in defining what a false prophet really is and why he or she, in that sense, if she's a Bible teacher, even teaching women, is desirous to, remember now, the false prophet misleads God's people. That's the primary objective and task and goal of a false prophet, is to mislead the people of God, the chosen, the elect. Now, whatever their lives are outside of teaching that,
right,
that's some